Most tourists come to Puerto Rico for the beaches, the rum, and the rhythm. But few leave understanding the true heartbeat of the island, because behind the glossy brochures and colonial pastel facades lies a story of survival, reinvention, and resistance. This isn't just a U.S. territory or a tropical getaway. It's an island that has been invaded, enslaved, converted, and contested. Yet through it all, Puerto Rico has guarded something sacred, its soul. From the sacred drumbeats of bomba to the bittersweet flavor of mofongo, from mountain coffee rituals to stories whispered in Taino caves, every corner of Puerto Rico carries a legacy forged in fire and preserved through flavor, faith, and fierce resilience. The culture here doesn't ask for your attention. It demands your respect. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. Roots, Flavor, and Faith. Puerto Rico is often described as a melting pot, but that's a cliche that dissolves its complexity. What simmers here is not a stew. It's a resistance recipe, slow-cooked over centuries. Taino spirits stir in the winds of El Yunque. African ancestors dance in the call of bomba drums. Spanish ghosts linger in San Juan's cathedrals. And U.S. colonialism? It hangs thick like the scent of fried alcapurrias on a humid afternoon. The taste of resistance. Food as memory step into any roadside kiosk, a lechonera in Guavate, for instance. And you're not just ordering pork. You're tasting centuries of adaptation. That garlic-laden mojo, introduced by Spanish settlers. The plantains, African legacy, transformed by enslaved cooks into tostones and mofongo as acts of culinary defiance. And the sofrito, oh the sofrito, is the holy trinity of Puerto Rican kitchens. Recao, culantro, garlic, peppers. It's passed down like prayer, from abuela to daughter to son. In old San Juan, tourists marvel at piña coladas in coconut shells. But beyond the frozen drink lies the legacy of sugar plantations, where enslaved Africans harvested cane under brutal conditions to feed a European addiction. Every rum toast carries a story of forced labor, of rebellion, of survival. Mountain magic, the coffee oracle of Maricao. In the misty highlands of Maricao, where the soil is volcanic and the air crisp, Puerto Rico's coffee heritage unfolds like a sacred rite. In the 1800s, these hills produced some of the finest beans in the world. Caribbean Arabica that rivaled the likes of Jamaican Blue Mountain. But what few tourists know is how that industry was built on both enslaved labor and, later, Jibaro hardship. The Jibaro, Puerto Rico's rural farmer, is more than a folk symbol. He is the forgotten backbone of the island's resistance culture. With machete in hand and verses in heart, he carved terraces into mountains, sang decimas about love and injustice, and brewed coffee over open fire before sunrise. To this day, the Jibaro identity lives on, not in textbooks, but in the rhythm of morning routines and the bitterness of black café colao, spiritual fusion, Santeria, Catholicism, and the ancestors. Puerto Rican faith is not neatly boxed into pews or temples. It's braided. Walk through Loiza on a feast day, and you'll see the Virgin Mary celebrated with African drumming and Spanish hymns. Santeria survives here, coded in Catholic iconography, hidden behind saints. The god Chango might wear the face of Saint Barbara, but his fire still burns. In rural barrios, some still leave offerings for the spirits, cigars for the ancestors, rum for Elegua. The Catholic rosary is often worn beside an orisha's bracelet. It's not contradiction, it's synthesis. colonizers tried to stamp out African spirituality, so the enslaved adapted, disguised, survived. Meanwhile, Taino traditions echo faintly in the caves of Cueva del Indio, in petroglyphs no missionary could erase. Ask an elder in Utuado, and they may tell you stories of the Kemi, the ancestral spirits believed to live in stones and mountains. These beliefs weren't forgotten. They went underground, waiting. Architecture of duality, Old San Juan and the colonial mosque stroll down the blue cobblestones of Old San Juan, and you'll be seduced by the Spanish balconies, pastel colors, and colonial charm. But what you're really seeing is a mask. The city was built as a fortress, both literally and metaphorically. Fort San Felipe del Moro wasn't just meant to keep out pirates. It was designed to assert power, to cage, in a people deemed dangerous. Beneath the charm lies a prison history. Slaves once walked these streets in chains. Revolts were crushed behind these iron bars. Yet today, the very walls that once silenced rebellion are canvases for resistance art. Murals honoring poets, revolutionaries, and everyday people who fought for dignity. Even the architecture tells the story. Majestic churches built atop sacred Taino sites. Courtyards where governors ruled by decree, now filled with tourists drinking frappes. Puerto Rico's cultural survival isn't just in books. It's inscribed in walls, recipes, prayers, and rhythms. Carnival in Loíza, paper masks, real freedom. Every summer, Loíza erupts in a celebration that confuses outsiders. Vejigante masks, vivid, monstrous papier-mâché faces parade through the streets. The origin? A mix of Catholic tradition, African rebellion, and colonial mockery. The mask wearers wield inflated bladders, chasing children in a ritual that once symbolized beating back evil. But to locals, it means more. During slavery, the masks were used to disguise identities, to resist surveillance. They became tools of performance, of coded protest. Today they are symbols of Afro-Caribbean pride. The drumming, the dancing, the fire, they aren't just spectacle. They are liberation. And in a land where the very notion of freedom has been redefined by centuries of occupation, sometimes a mask tells the truth better than a face. Chapter 2. Resistance, Rhythm, and Rebirth. Puerto Rico's story isn't just one of cultural layering. It's one of constant tension between colonizer and colonized, between identity and erasure, between the romantic image sold to tourists and the real unfinished business of sovereignty. The resistance here is as old as the island, and it's still alive. The forgotten rebellions, Grito de Lares and beyond. Ask most Americans if Puerto Rico ever fought for its independence, and you'll get blank stares. But on September 23rd, 1868, a band of revolutionaries in Lares raised the Puerto Rican flag and declared a republic. It lasted less than a day before being crushed by Spanish forces. But it became a symbol, a scar that never faded. The Grito de Lares wasn't just a rebellion. It was a revelation. Doctors, poets, farmers, and freed slaves stood together. They stitched a flag, organized cells, and shouted into history. The Spanish Empire was crumbling, and Puerto Rico wanted its voice in the vacuum. Today that flag, the one with the white cross and red squares, still flies in protest marches. It's a reminder that Puerto Rico has always known how to scream, even if no one listened. Music as weapon, reggaeton, bomba, and the politics of sound when Bad Bunny raps in Spanglish about corruption and colonialism, he's not just making pop music. He's walking in a long tradition. Reggaeton, now a global force, was born in the housing projects of San Juan and Loíza. It was banned, ridiculed, and criminalized before it was monetized. it was protest with bass lines. Before reggaeton, there was bomba, a call-and-response drum tradition rooted in African rhythms and rebellion. In slavery times, bomba was used to plan escapes. Today, when a dancer steps into the circle and challenges the drummer, it's not just performance, it's ancestral power. Puerto Rico doesn't just make music, it speaks in rhythm. Salsa, plena, bomba, reggaeton. They're not just genres, they're archives. They hold stories of migration, rage, seduction, and survival. The colonial present, citizenship without a vote. In 1917, the U.S. granted Puerto Ricans citizenship. It wasn't a gift, it was a draft card. Thousands were shipped to fight in World War I. But they still couldn't vote for president. Still can't. Still don't have full representation in Congress. The Jones Act, passed that same year, still strangles the island's economy. All goods entering Puerto Rico must pass through U.S. ports, making life more expensive. After Hurricane Maria, aid was delayed, mismanaged, and politicized. People died. Power failed. Colonial reality returned with vengeance. Tourists returned faster than FEMA. And yet, Puerto Rico remains proud. Not because of the flag on its passport, but because of the flag in its heart. The one painted on murals, sewn into capes, inked on skin. Red, white, and blue. But not the same red, white, and blue as Washington's. Culinary Renaissance, from exploitation to innovation. A new wave of Puerto Rican chefs is reclaiming the island's palate. They're sourcing from local farms, honoring ancestral ingredients, and refusing to cater to tourist taste buds. Dishes like pastels, once dismissed as peasant food, are now centerpieces in avant-garde kitchens. Breadfruit, cassava, guava, pigeon peas, these are no longer survival foods. They are revolution on a plate. In Santurce, food trucks sling lechon alongside vegan empanadas. In Rincon, surfers sip turmeric lattes next to elders roasting yuca. Food, once a symbol of hardship, has become an act of defiance. Eat local, stay rooted. And every time an abuela teaches a child how to press dough, wrap banana leaves, or season adobo just right, a legacy is secured. Rebirth through art, marches, and memory. Puerto Rican identity is fluid. Some call themselves Boricua, reclaiming the Taino name. Others insist on Puerto Riqueño. Some wave the U.S. flag beside their own. Others burn it in protest. There is no single Puerto Rican experience, but there is a shared wound and a common fire. Artists paint over decay. Poets write through blackouts. Students march through tear gas. Independence groups, statehood advocates, and status quo defenders all claim to love the island. Maybe they do, but love here is complicated. It has to be. Yet there is something undeniable. Puerto Rico has never stopped resisting, and that resistance has always been cultural. Even after Hurricane Maria, after economic collapse, after mass migration, Puerto Ricans rebuild with words, with drums, with spices, with stories. This island isn't just a territory, it's a testament.